Okay, so let's just put ourselves back into the sugya of last week. So we were discussing the really two very, very different approaches between two opinions in Tosis about the prohibition of Baltosif. So we started out really as a Lul Vagozel sugya, but we quickly branched out to other areas of Halacha as well. So just to recap for a moment, we saw there was almost a spirit between two Gemaras about when we discussed Baltosif, particularly about the Alaminim. So do we apply this principle of Hay l'chudekoy, namely, each item is really separate and distinct from one another. And therefore, just because you walk at the shul with dal minim and a tulip, it doesn't really mean that much, because the tulip doesn't really have any connection to the ikra mitzvah. It's not a whole sof on the ikra mitzvah. It's a separate and distinct item. But Tosef is to add on to the mitzvah, but I'm not really adding on to the mitzvah because there's no connection between the mitzvah and the whole sof. So that was one opinion of Tosef, is that there is such a svar, hay l'chudekoy, hay l'chudekoy. The other day in Tosis, no, there is no such cloud that bottom line is you add it on a tulip, my nafkamino, whether it's mechubit to the mitzvah, not mechubit to the mitzvah. At the end of the day, you take me 5 minim, that would be a violation about Tosis. So again, that those two opinions in Tosis and Sanhedrin all revolved around how to read the two Gemaras in Masech Sukkah and then the Gemara Masech Sanhedrin about the Zochin Mamre. That was the background in terms of the Lula part. But then the Rishonim quick to point out that that issue now spills over to other Baltosis Shailas. Because the Gemara talks about Baltosif by sleeping in the sukkah on the 8th day. The Gemara talks about Baltosif for the Kohen who adds on a bracha. So how do we understand that? L'chora, those hosafos are not really part of the mitzvah proper. So why don't we say, hay l'chudekoy, hay l'chudekoy? So one opinion in Tosif said that, well, you don't say that. We don't accept that kula of hay l'chudekoy. And that is the reason why there would be Baltosif. But the other days in Tosfos and the other Rishonim have to explain that no, that those two examples of Baal Tosif in Chazal, both the case of the Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres and the Kohen getting on the Bracha, are actually really a Hosafa that is Mechubar to the Ikra Mitzvah. Mechubar to the Ikra Mitzvah, based on what? What's the Chibur? So we saw Rishonim who said the Chibur is as follows, the connection is as follows. The Kohen, Lamaisa, recites the fourth bracha with his hands up, like the first three brachas. It's been a Nesias Kabayim. So that act, that physical act of Nesias Kabayim, merges and blends together the whole Sofa to the mitzvah. And that is like the halach equivalent of tying a lulav to the tulip, according to Rabbi Yehuda. There's a halachic significance to that chibor. And that is what opens the engine driving Baal Tosif. And when it comes to Sukkah, so Rishonim wrote, that since the 8th day is following on the heels of the 7 days, it's not a Hosaf in the middle of January, it's a Hosaf on the day after Shemus Yomim, so that's also halachically considered to be Mechuba Yachad, and therefore, you can't hide behind Halachudekoy. So this Machlokes, again, is now permeating Dalaminim, permeating Sukkah, and Peres Kohanim, same Shiloh all the time. So now, if you take a look at the Ritva, I sent the Ritva and the Mar Mekomos, Ritva and Sukkah, and the last week's Ma'amar Kamos, those who dig it up in your phones, last week's Ma'amar Kamos. So if you take a look at, it's on the Chedusha Ritva, it's Kalm Reish Tzadi Hei. So if you take a look at Kalm Reish Tzadi Hei, it's about a third of the way down, a little more than a third of the way down. The first word on the line is Yedei Chavoso. So it's the end of that line. Of Divrayim, Mashenogu lahosif v'hadas v'arava, v'lo chashashu mishum Baal Tosif. So the Ritva begins by noting a common practice that was very common in his day. It's actually still common in certain communities, not so much in most Ashkenazi communities, but many Sephardi communities, that they actually add on to the number of hadasim. And the Ritva adds on to the number of aravas as well. So as we all know, that you have to have three hadasim, which... It's a little bit of a misnomer to say we all know, because there are some opinions in the Gemara that didn't know that. It's actually a shayla in the Gemara how many you need, but we passed you need three hadasim. And all you need is two aravas, arbe nachal. The custom was to add on more. A guy would walk at the shul with 10 hadasim, 20 hadasim, 50 hadasim, 5 aravas, 10 aravas, 20 aravas. People would do that. So says Ritva, wait a second. He said, why is that smack about Tosif? The Torah says 3, and I'm taking 4. The Torah says 2, and I'm taking 3. Why isn't that about Tosif? The Hadar Ritva continues. Afal gav the hay l'chudekoy v'hay l'chudekoy. Even though we would love to hide behind the ptur, the heter of hay l'chudekoy, that would be great, according to those who shouldn't accept it. But according to that opinion in Tosos and in Rishon, that doesn't buy into that cool about the Chudekoi, Gavalt ain't the matzav about Tosif. Says, how does that help? How in the world are we going to get around about Tosif? So now the Ritva is posing a challenge. The starting point is, this is the Olam does. Everybody knows, Ritva sitting in Spain in the Middle Ages and saying, I'm telling you, walk the show. People walking around with Hadassim galore, Aravis galore. How do we justify that? What happened to about Tosif? So if we would have held Halachudekoi, that would have been a great answer. But not so sure that's correct. So do we have any other answers to this question? So we skip down the Ritva a little bit further. It's seven lines in the bottom, the same column. Three, six, seven lines in the bottom. The first one line is Hechi. The Halva Kashali Klal says the Ritva, it's not a kasha. A minute ago he said it's a disaster, and I told him, it's not a bit of kasha altogether. Nah, he's not bothered with the kasha. What? The Bedalim mean him, Lo Nosba Ben Torah Shir Lamala. The Torah never said three Hadassim and no more. Says the Ritva, you're not adding on a new min, you're just adding on the same min, more quantity of the same min. Says Ritva, Bachashar Hosif min an acher miyeshu b'shabbat Tosif. Says Ritva, Gavaltik Yisoyed, he says that Tosif means you have to add on to the mitzvah. And Ha'ilut Chodekoi is not even going to save you, according to this answer. Adding on to the mitzvah is problematic. But what's meant adding on to the mitzvah? Adding on something far into the mitzvah, something that doesn't belong to the mitzvah. But when you're simply just hiking up numerically, the Torah says, take Hadassim, and the Torah says, oh, by the way, three Hadassim is enough, but not left off with three Hadassim. Three Hadassim is the bare minimum. You yates with three Hadassim. You want to take 25 Hadassim, Gekas on the eight. That's not called a Ha'el Sofa. Baksha Hosef bin Nacherim, you're there and take a tulip or a rose, Yeshua B'Shubakos. That is
how is that different than Tefillin?
You know what I'm saying? What?
How is that different than Batim and Tefillin?
Oh, Gavaldik Kasha. It's a bomb Kasha. Very, very good. So Judah is asking, wait a second, why is that different than Batim in Tefillin? So I'm going to challenge you with the following question, Judah. What is written in that fifth bias that the person added on? We have no idea. I'll make a guess. Aseres Adibros, Precious Belakim. That's a Dover Zar. That's something different. According to the Ritva, I'm afraid to say it,
but if the person added on a fifth bias
with Shema Yisrael again,
yeah.
I don't know. Is that Baal Tosef? Maybe Yenochanan, maybe it's talking about Tosef. Maybe that fifth bias of Tefillin is when it's something which is foreign to Tefillin, like the Moshe, the foreign to the Aluminium. Again, I'm not sure about that, but that would be my initial reaction to Judah's question.
I mean, it would also depend on your understanding of the Halacha Moshe Mesinai, right? Like,
Right. Unless you want to change gears and say that by Tefillin, the Torah is really defining the Chesed of Tefillin. This is it. This is the minimum and the maximum all rolled into one. But then it becomes a little bit tricky. Well, how do you know which is which? How do I know when the Torah is defining the mitzvah? How do I know when the Torah is giving you a minimum amount for mitzvah? That gets very tricky.
Especially when you have totafos, tatpe kafrisi, and all those things which are similar to the drushas by Dalminim.
Right. So, right. I agree with you. I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that question. But again, let's read the Ritva together with you. So the Ritva, again, you see the Ritva is painfully searching for the answer. He's got to explain what's going on in the shul. He's the rabbi in the shul in Spain. He's walking in Sukkot morning with 100 Hadassim. So he's trying to figure out where did this come from, and I'm the Baal Tosef. So half the Rishon is saying, don't bother about Tosef, it's Halachudekoi. But the other half say that's not a poet there. So the Ritva's coming up with this theory. When we come up on, the Ritva falls short. When we come up on, Adayim Kashal and Divrayim. Masha Nagu Lahosin Hadashayte Hukim and Acher. The Ritva is making reference to a Gemara a little bit later on, a little Gazel. But the Gemara talks about Hadassim. Now we all know Hadass has to be Meshosh. That's to have three leaves coming out of the same basic area, a little bit nuanced in Rishonim. What exactly does that mean? We usually assume it means all the same level, basically, that's good enough to be called Meshulosh. But there are other Hadassim that grow that are not Meshuloshim. And the Gemara talks about a particular Hadass called the Hadashoite. It's actually a machlokes. What in the world is the etymology of that word Hadashoite? So usually in the Shivas they say Hadashoite means it's not foolish, a Narish Hadass. The Hadass is trying to masquerade as Hadass. It's not really kosher. The Torah says it has to be enough. It's Ovis. So Ovis with an I means it's going to be like like a interlocking, I think is the word, something like that. It's kind of an interlocking, you know, the structure of the leaves of the hadas. So in order to fulfill an hafei tzavos, it has to be three. So this one hadas is masquerading as hadas. He only comes up with two. It's got two leaves and then one on another level, whatever it is. That's called the hadas shaytav. It's a foolish narish guy, narish hadas. So there are those who suggest that the word hadas shaytav is being mispronounced. It's not shota, it's shita. Shin teseh. There's no vav in that word. It's hadas shita. What's a hadas shita? The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that there are multiple names for the same tree. Hadas tree is in Eitz Erez and Afetz Avos and a shita. There are 10 different names for the same basic species of tree. So a hadas shita just means a shita tree. It's not really an Afetz Avos tree. It doesn't have, it's the same kind of species, but it's not what the Torah is mashia. It's not considered to be the mashakos v'Torah and Afetz Avos. It's in the hadas family, but it's a mere hadas shita. It's not an Afetz Avos. If you're interested in that pshat, so you can follow it in the Zmiris. Hadas shita b'rosh tidhar. That's what hadas shita means. Hadas shita means just a plain, simple hadas tree, lacking the anafetz avos according to some. Whatever it is, doesn't matter the etymology too much for rab shah. The bottom line is, the Ritvos is a way to say it. The oilam is adding in even hadas shaitas. They're adding in hadasim that are not even kosher. So that undermines the entire teretz. The whole teretz of the Ritvos was that the only reason you're allowed to add on extra hadasim and aravos is because you're not adding on something new and something different. It's just part of the same species, just adding up the number, but you're not adding something new. Now the Ritvos takes a step back and says, wait a second, that would be great if people added on kosher hadasim and aravos, but they're not doing that. They're adding on, in addition to that, they're also adding on posel ones. I'll tell you why they're adding on posel ones. It's cheaper than the kosher ones. So it's easier to add on. So how do we justify that? So that's where Ritvos gets very nervous. He's not sure how to justify that. So V'yesh Shloimar, he says, no, I can come up for a justification that also. V'yesh Shloimar, in the bottom line of that column, that paragraph, V'yesh Shloimar, to the Rabbanan, Leika Mishum Bal Toysev, Elika She'eno Lenoi, Aval Koshu Lenoi B'yama Eno Mishum Bal Toysev. A few of the Echti Lossi. Says the Ritvos, a new Svar, Mamash from left field. Up until now, he had two defenses for the Minigar Oilam of adding on Hadas and Aravos. One defense was Hai L'chudekoi, that's very shaky, totally in 2 days and places. Defense number two is it's the same min, that's very shaky because the oil is adding on Hadashitas, Shatashitas also. And Upshat, it's Lenoi, it's to beautify the mitzvah, and therefore it's not Bal Tosef. What does that mean? Since when is Hiddur mitzvah a justification to violate Yisurim? So L'chur, the Yisod of the Ritvos is as follows, that Bal Tosef, in order to be violated, has to have a certain engine driving. It means it has to be done b'teras ha-sofa. Why are you doing what you're doing? You have to come up with a good reason to explain why you're adding on. The Rabbanu Shalom said the mitzvah is such and such, and you decided to add on to it. Why are you doing that? Because I'm trying to outsmart the Torah Kedoshah. I know better than Kedosh Baruch Hu. Boom, that's Bal Tosef. But Rabbi, I'll explain to you exactly why I'm adding on. Because I come into shul, my hadas looks a little shvach. There are only three of them. Imagine if I take 50 hadas, it'll look so much nicer, so much fatter, so much yummier, so much more delicious. Hazah hitler, that'll be a covered young, that'll be a hitler mitzvah. So I have an acceptable agenda for what I'm doing. I'm trying to beautify the mitzvah. That's not Bal Tosef. So the chari, that's what the Ritvos is saying, that if that's the svara, then guess what? Then you can add on even how the shaykh is, because I don't have to hide behind I'm adding on a different min, and therefore it's a problem. No, it can be a different min. As long as it's a different min, that's okay. Even a different min is okay, because the real math here is hiddur mitzvah. So the Ritvos now presented us three different justifications for the minhag Yisrael of adding on within the min. One is, or out of the min. One is Hayl Chudikor, that's the best cool. That's Kavaldik, but half the Rishon I've never heard of it. The other cool is, well, it's the same min and don't bother me. Had the shaita fall short. The third answer is Lenoi. So the emphasis is, the Ritvos is not the only one who entertained this possibility of Lenoi and Hiddur Mitzvah being a matir, so to speak, being something that would justify a quote-unquote otherwise Bal Tosef. The Rambam has this also, but the Rambam, interestingly enough, only has the Behadasim. The Rambam meets the Ritvos halfway. The Rambam writes the Chazlulov that you're allowed to get on to Hadassim. That's okay, that's fine, that's no problem. You can get on as many Hadassim as you want because that beautifies the mitzvah. Aravis of the Rambam, you have no right to have one. Why? Apparently, the Ribi Aravis doesn't have too much. This is already a florist decision. It means what exactly is necessary to accomplish this legitimate agenda of Hidu Mitzvah. The Ritva sounds like anything you do to boost up the Dalamin, make it a little chubby, a little nicer, that's good. Hadassah, Aravis, Hadashayt, Regla, you name it, it's good to go. The Rambam says, no, I accept the longest of the Ritva, but I think that he went overboard, the Rambam before the Ritva, but I think he went overboard in terms of extending it even to Aravis. But the Ikaron, the Rambam and the Ritva are on the same team, that they're both justifying what would otherwise be an act of Baltaisiv, as long as it's being done for another reason. It's not the Hidim Mitzvah's Doicha Baltaisiv, that's absurd. Hidim Mitzvah is not a Doicha Baltaisiv, it's not a Ma'at Baltaisiv. When it's being done in the situation of Hidim Mitzvah, as chaser, as felt in the Hosafa, that's not called the Hosafa because that it's lacking in the reason of why you're being noisiv. That's why it doesn't violate others.
So controversy by even lulavim. So 10 lulavim together.
What?
10 lulavim.
Oh, you mean if you have more than one lulav? So the Rambam actually talks about that. The Rambam writes that if you take an extra lulav, an extra esrog, that doesn't look beautiful. That's the klutzy. The Rambam writes that wouldn't be a hinder. I'm not even sure the Ritva would say that's a hinder. I think there's something about the Hadassim and Aravis that kind of lend itself to them. Walking around with three lulav instead of one lulav, I'm not sure even the Ritva would go that far.
Does anybody bring a raya from the Anshe Yerushalayim with the Zahav on their lulavs?
Ooh, about the what about?
They had the Zahav on their lulavs.
Hang in there. That may be part. That may be part of the riot, right? That may possibly be that whole sugya about using nice ties. But let's not forget, because according to
the Gemara, it's
not kederach dilosan. So that may, by definition, be a mafkia from Bal Tosef. Right. Remember, so the ties, the eged, was less of a problem because it's not replicating the mitzvah altogether. Whether we spoke a little bit last week, so that may not be a good riot, maybe. So Rabbi Sai, there's a fascinating potential application of this yisod that the Ritva is using. He's searching, he's trying to see, he's putting in so much effort to be miyashiv the minhag ha'olam, and the Rambam accepts it to a certain degree. This idea that if your agenda is hidur, then that's kind of like a way to, in a certain sense, sidestep al Tosif. So there is a Ramah, there's a fascinating Ramah. The Ramah, it's in the very, very beginning, I didn't put it in my comments, but it's the very, very beginning of Hilchas Brichas Karlim. The beginning, the opening lines in Kuf Chavches, if I'm not mistaken, in Arachayim, about the Siman about Kohanim Dochanim. But the Ramah discusses the strange question, can a Yisrael get up and Dochanim? That's strange, Shadow. A Yisrael wants to get up and Dochanim. The Kohanim are getting up, he wants it. He's not misrepresenting. I'm not a Kohen. He puts up a big sign, I'm not a Kohen. I want to give a bracha. What's wrong with me giving a bracha? I want to give a bracha to my congregants. I want to give a bracha. That's the Ramah discussed that Shalom. So the Ramah quotes a Tosus in Maseches Ksubis. But Tosus writes that they're not sure if there's anything wrong with that. Ksugi against them is Ksubis. Tosus in Shabbos, it says, Lo yoda riba isi yesh b'dover. The Re is not sure, but he just breaks that. Do you hear the background? Just people hear that noise in the background or no? Not bothering, okay, totally bothering me. Okay, so didn't make it really okay. Guys, can you lower the back a little bit? Blima, a little lower, whatever that noise is. Whatever it is, guys, a little lower. Okay. The shul coat room is still close enough to the Sablowski living room to still make a difference. Okay, so we're both saying there's a Tyson Shabbos that says, the Re throws his hands and says, you know, it sounds mudna, sounds strange, but is it usher? Not sure. So everybody jumps in the Re and says, what do you mean you're not sure? The Gemara says black and white in Maseches Ksubis in the second parak that a non good is not allowed to do it. Gemara says, "Mamish black on white, there's an issur goma min haTorah for nine koyt to duchit." Rashi says, "The issur is amor lehem, but lo Yisrael don't want to duchit. The mitzvah is given to a kohen, Yisrael does it. That's also. So what do you mean? The Re says liyot the Re by issi yesh b'davar. So the Ramah, that Ramah begins in the siman about Berachos Kohanim, Kuvuches says, but the Re meant is as follows: if you look at the context that the Re is talking about, the Re is talking about in shul going up with the other kohanim. That's exactly what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara tells the story about Rabbi Yossi wasn't a kohen, and he said that he would never he was never a b'machlokes Rabbi Yossi. He said he was always such an easygoing kind of a guy, and he would never want to argue with anybody. So Rabbi Yossi said, if I would be davening in shul one day, and the kohanim would say, "Come on, come Rabbi Yossi, come join us to duchenim," he says, "Oh, the kohen," I would have gone up with them in duchen also, which is not to make a b'machlokes. So it's in that Gemara the Taisa says, "Lo yoga with theaser," like okay, Rabbi Yossi wouldn't violate surim to make his friends happy, not to get into a fight, but it sounds like there's nothing wrong. So the Ramah says, when did Tosfos say, when did the Gemara Shabbos imply there's no Isur? That's when other Kohanim and Duchanim also, then the Yisrael can join them. But if there's no Kohen in town and the Yisrael himself gets up and Duchanim by himself, that's an Isur Deraisa. So the Gemara in Ksubas was talking about Yisrael Duchanim by himself. The Gemara in Shabbos with the Tosfos in Shabbos was talking about when he's Duchanim with the Kohanim, that's the answer to the dilemma. Sometimes it's Mutter and sometimes it's also. It's Mutter with other Kohanim, it's Isur Deraisa by himself. That's what the Ramah says. Sister Tyra. No, what's the chiluk? What's the difference? Either you're the name, either you're allowed. If I'm a Yisrael, so I'm not mechuyev to duchen. Torah says, "Dabrel Aaron v'abon v'amor lehem." So the mitzvahs duchening a shekin, the shas hashanah is only given to a kohen. So there's no question that the Yisrael gets nothing out of duchening. Does he get an iser? Maybe, yeah, maybe no. I have no idea what the answer to that question is. But one thing I don't understand: why in the world would it make a difference whether it's by himself or with others? So the Ramos. A fascinating chiluk, but we don't understand it before. So the Chassam Sofer says, on the side of the notes in Shulchan Aruch, on the side of Aruch Haim, says the Chassam Sofer, the Pshat and the Ramah is based on this Ritva and based on that Rambam that we just quoted. Says the Chassam Sofer, there's an Isser for a non-Koyen to Duchen. What's the nature that is? What's the gedur of that Isser? Says the Chassam Sofer, it's like a Me'ein Bal Tosef. It's like you're eating. The Torah said the Tzuras Mitzvah is a koyin to duchen. Ich bin my own religion. I'm making my own religion. I would like to create a new religion. My new religion is going to be that a Yisrael duchens. A Meisav Mashkasa B'Torah. The Torah says only Kohanim duchen, not Yisraelim. No, I want to duchen. So says the Chassam Sofer. That's like the Torah says sitting in the sukkah 7 days. No, I want 8 days. The Torah says we have four batim. I'm putting aside Judas Kash. I'm going to be a fifth bias. The Torah says four minim. I take a tulip also. Says Chacham Sofer, that Isser of Zar Shabirech is a Baltaisif Dikadir. It's a Ke'en of Baltaisif. If so, if it's Ke'en, it's subsumed under the basic heading, it's like a Baltaisif type of halacha, then it's subject to all the kulos of Baltaisif as well. And what's one of the important kulos of Baltaisif? What sidesteps Baltaisif? What's Shein and Ritva the Rambam? If it's done, but there is Hidur, if your goal is Lahadir Ikra Mitzvah, not I don't want to be Moisif, I want to be Mahadir Ikra Mitzvah, then there's nothing wrong with that. That's okay. That's like taking 15 hadasim. Or according to Ritva, maybe even taking 15 arrows. Even taking 15 hadashaitas. Whatever beautifies the mitzvah is good to go. If that's the case, says the Chassam Sofer. You have 20 kohanim up to duchanim. Why is the 21st guy going up? Why is the Israel going up? What is the goal of the Israel going up? So the Chassam Sofer doesn't spell this out. I'll tell you what it's for. It's for one of two things. Either because I'm looking around to see if there's any Kohanim, I don't recognize any Kohanim. Maybe I'm not sure. I don't see any Kohanim. Any Kohanim here, please, I'm Michael Mespa from Mechila from the Shebra Kohuna, if I say something not nice. So, for one of two reasons why the Israelites joined his fellow Jews, his Kohanim friends, either because the Kohanim have terrible voices and the Duchling sounds miserable, I'll leave that out, elaborating on that, or it's a Shvach Hashem for Kohanim. You got three Kohanim up there. It's a beautiful big shul. And we got three Kohanim there. Where are the Kohanim? They're all sleeping. They all left. They went, yeah. All right, just between friends. They went home for the Kiddush before Musaf. They never came back to Duchen. So it doesn't look right. Three Kohanim. So all the Israelim say, you know what? It's a bush of cherpa to the shul. So quickly, it's a bush of cherpa to the mitzvahs of the Siyas Kohan and the Siyas Kabayim. Let's go run up and boost it up a little bit. We have a little more chazanish of voices than our friends in Kohanim who can carry a tune. And why should it be only three Kohanim up there? We'll send 10 other Israelim up there. Slahadir is a mitzvah. Shaykh Nechsam Sofer, that's what the Rambam says. When you're sending other Israelim up there, Lahadir is a kehad, Lahadir is a mitzvah, that's not Bal Tosef, because there's a legitimate reason for what you're doing. But if there's no Kohen around, and you're going up to usurp the Shevet the Kohuna, I'm going up to Shevet, I'm showing, Ich bin the Kohen today, you're not a Kohen. Well, I'm going to show the Torah that I can also do this. That's called Bal Tosef. That's the lumbus in the Ramah, says the Chassam Sofer. Fascinating, fascinating shot. But again, whether you accept the Chassam Sofer or not, Shah and the Ramah, the Ritva says it black and white. The Ram state black and white. Now, they see what I'm saying.
You don't find the example of the Kohanim a difficult mashal to be matir?
Yeah, it's a big drum. Yeah, the whole it is drum. The Ramah doesn't say a word about lahadir, not lahadir. You're right. It's a drum. It's just a fascinating insight. It's very creative. Some sofer, you know, whether you accept it or not. Rabbi said, I'm going to bring you a raya. This is probably not the kind of a raya you expect me to say, but I'll say it anyway. I'll bring you a raya to this yesod of the Ritva, to the yesod of the Rambam, sometimes Ramah, that it is perfectly acceptable to add on extra hadasim, and we have justification for it. We have a precedent for it way before the Rambam and the Ritva were ever born. And what was the raya referring to? It's a shtickle in Yonah D'Yoyim, it's related to Lag B'Omer a little bit.
The Bar Kochba coins.
The Bar Kochba coins. The back of the Bar Kochba coins is a picture of Dal Minim. It's a picture of a lulav. Curry, you ever count how many hadasim are there? I never counted, but there are an awful lot more than three. It is a huge bundle, but it's clearly a Dal Minim. There's no question about it. The back of the Bar Kochba coin has a clear Dal Minim with a huge bundle of hadasim. Anyone about Shul will probably appreciate it. Anyone ever stand next to Ron Yaish on Sukkos? You ever see his Temani Dalim Minim? He's got about 1,000 hadasim in there. That was the old minig. That was the minig that the Ramos, that the Ritva was talking about. That was clearly the minig in Bayesheni. The Bar Kochba didn't all of a sudden decide to mint coins made up a Yisoy to throw in 50 hadasim. That's what they knew. That was the Dalim Minim that appeared in the Chazal. Again, you don't have to do that. Mishnah says, 3 is enough. Now, Fetzavas, Kachanem, Allah, Mishnah, whatever the Makor is, 1, 3, whatever we pass in 3. So nobody's questioning our being Yotze with Adasim with the bare minimum of 3. But not only is it Mutari at on, it was actually done. It was we know for a fact it was practiced this way for thousands of years. And you pick and choose which justification you want. You want to go down the Hailachu Dekoy Yisvara, Zolzayim. You do want to deny that. You want to go down the Ritvaz Yisoid about the same min, okay, then you have to be weary about the other shaitas. You better go down to the next part, the mitzvah, matzah. So Rabbi Sai, we've already seen how the whole ball started, the whole Shtimul Torah started, all because of the Hailu Chudekoi issue, all revolving back to last week's Shia. But now, the Ritva goes even further. Now, the Ritva has a disclaimer to everything that he just said. If you go back to that second column Reis Tzadivav, the Efshar, Shaminig Shalom Kedasa Tosis. He says, you know, maybe the Minig in Mashul in Spain is talking against Tosis. Maybe we in the Spanish countries who do this, we who practice this, that we are Mekilim because we hold Ha'ilchud Dekoy, maybe going to Tosis, Taka Asr, maybe. Maybe I swear about the Hinder and I swear about the same. Maybe those are not the most convincing swears. Maybe. So the Ritva, you know, he had 3 good convincing reasons and then he backpedals for a second. But now the Ritva continues. Let's pick it up from the 4th line of that second column. The Hashtin Dahochiu, Kol Shenos the Turaboshir, Yesh Babishum Batesiv. It's very possible that if and when the Torah does give a shear to something, that's not a matir. And now he has to bomb cash. Factory brother following cash. He says, wait a second. We do it all the time. He says, we all know the Gemara tells us in the end of Masechet Rosh Hashanah, how many times you have to hear a shofar in Rosh Hashanah? 9 times. That's all there is right no more. It's a tkiah, true, tkiah, tkiah, true, tkiah, tkiah, true, tkiah. That is the mitzvah deraisa tkiah shofar. That mitzvah deraisa takes approximately, I should know this as the makri, I should know how long every tkiah and every true it takes. You can knock off the entire mitzvah with a good crackerjack about tkiah in 1 minute. That is the mitzvah deraisa of kishah. But kia truot kia, kia truot kia, to kia truot kia. That's all there is based on psukim drasha lachma sinai. That's all there is. Comes the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, the famous Gemara, and tells us that in the days of the Tanoim, there was a big shaila, what exactly a trua sounds like. We're not sure, is it a do-do-do, is it a do-do-do-do-do-do, is it a do-do-do-do-do-do, every possible permutation. It all boils down to one question, how do people cry? The Torah says, Yom Trua Elechem, state in the Targum, it says, Yom Yuvavi Elechon. A trua has to mimic a crying sound. Different people cry in different ways. Some people cry, Some people cry, and some cry a combination of the two. And therefore, so we're not quite sure what's the correct true of the Torah, we do all three. Now, it's interesting because there's a big machlokes of Rishonim. Are we really not sure? Is it really a suffix? We're really, truly not sure? So Rav Haigon says, Chalila the Chalila, says the Rav Haigon. He says, we know exactly what a true is. We know, Belishim suffix, we know exactly what a true is. There never was a suffix, there never was a machlokes. Everybody in the sun knows exactly what true is. You know what a true is? What Rav Haigon says, any one of the above is a true Amor B'Torah. The true Amor B'Torah is simply a broken sound. It was Nimsa L'Moshe Rabbeinu that you have to blow Tkia, which is a straight sound. You have to blow a straight sound, a broken sound, and a straight sound. That is the Tzur of Tkia Shof as Nimsa L'Moshe Rabbeinu. What that true sounds like, whatever you want it to sound like. You want it to sound like a shvarim, you want it to sound like what we call a true, you want it to sound like shvarim, you name it, it's good. As long as it resembles a cry in any shape or form, any cry on the Torah is good. The Rav Haigon does give this mashal, I'll give you the mashal. It is a mashal ma'adav v'doymeh. When the Kodesh Baruch Hu was Moshe to Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to eat matzahs on Pesach. You have to eat matzah with the Seder. The definition of matzah was flour made from chamesh min dagon, mixed with water, baked, for less than the shear that will become chametz, that is the matzah murbatur. You want to have a square matzah, you want to have a circle matzah, you want to have a triangle matzah. You want to have a soft matzah, you can pull it off properly, you want to have a hard matzah. You want to have, I don't care what, you want to have a brisket burnt matzah, you want to have a thin matzah, I couldn't care less. The din matzah murbatera was, it has to be chameshes bin dogan shteked in Mishnah, it has to be water shteked in Mishnah, it has to be baked within the amount of time, it's not bali de chimutz. All of those dinim ma'akev, that's the din matzah. Everything else, ishkal yosh ve'enav yaseh. The marshal, the Torah says, there's a tzuras of a sukkah. Schach has to be made out of the following rules. It has to be something that's gedulim in a character, has to grow on the ground. It has to be nitlash brecha, can be still attached to the ground. It has to be a davashen ma'kabal tuba. Those are the only three conditions that are necessary. I couldn't care less what Moshe Rabbeinu used for schach. I don't care what Shmuel HaNavi used for schach either. I don't care whether he did or didn't use bamboo. I can pretty much guarantee you that neither of them used bamboo, unless they got a ship from China, highly unlikely. So Moshe Rabbeinu never saw bamboo in his life. My bamboo is an absolute, completely acceptable replica of Moshe Rabbeinu's schach. How can that be? This religion changed so much. Moshe Rabbeinu, forget about Moshe Rabbeinu. My grandmother never heard of Rabbeinu. I've told the story over many, many times in the show. The first time in our old years, we used to have branches and leaves of the evergreen, the pines, you know, the evergreens that used to fall into your soup. The old style schach back in the 1960s. When we moved up in the world and we purchased bamboo, I'll never forget my grandmother, Lashem, walked into the sukkah the first night and she looked up and she asked my father, "Where is the schach?" She had no idea where the schach was. She said, "What happened to the schach?" She thought we were mamash, that we were changing the whole religion. She said, "I grew up in Poland and my father, there's branches, there's leaves, where's the schach?" So I have to explain to my grandmother from a shtetl in Europe that this is chacham v'Torah, because the din of v'Torah are these three conditions. And bamboo meets all three conditions, that is chacham v'Torah. So things change culturally. Some cultures will use bamboo, some will use mats with bamboo, some will use reeds, some will use this, some will use branches, some will use leaves, it doesn't matter. So that's what Rav Haigon writes. The Shoif is the same thing, that the true amu v'Torah is any of the above. So if that's so, why is davening so long on Rosh Hashanah? So why are we blowing all three? So you know what Haigon says? One of the most powerful, powerful messages. And I'm going to ask everybody to please remember this message. I beg of you, remember this message. Hopefully it won't be negayah by Rosh Hashanah. But just in case it is, remember this message. If Haigon said that a Yid walks into shul on Rosh Hashanah, he wants to feel like this is the Yom Noraim that he's used to when he was a little kid. You know, he doesn't want any big surprises in Rosh Hashanah. He wants This is how my Zayda blew shofar. This is how I want to blow shofar. There were different minhagim and klai so about how to blow shofar and Rosh Hashanah. They were all okay. Some blew shvarim, some blew truas, some blew bloth, and they were all okay. So if I was to turn, never says which one. They're all okay. They're all true. Was there. But because we don't want anyone to be disappointed, we want everybody to feel happy. We want to walk out of the Yom HaDin feeling this is the Rosh Hashanah that we know and love. So Vaigon says, Chazal made a takana to make the davening longer. We're going to blow all three sets, and then we repeat all three sets of Shemoneh Esrei to make matters even longer. And then we blow them again after davening to make it even longer. We want every single possibility to be covered, not because the halacha requires it, but because Sholem requires it. Abbas Yisrael requires it. That's why. I'm not a Navi. Nobody's a Navi. Navu has long been lost. But I think it's fair enough statement to say that nobody knows what the Rosh Hashanah is going to look like. We thought maybe we knew Shavuot is going to look like. Maybe Ben HaMikdash. Sure of that, I can't tell you. But Rosh Hashanah, nobody knows. As they say, hoping for the best and preparing for the worst. I cannot tell you what the Kiyashof is going to look like. The only thing I can tell you off the record, maybe it's too off the record with this. My only mitzvah nechama is that there's no derais at Kishor this year, the first day Shabbos. So if we get it wrong, it's only the Rabbanu. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who's going to be blowing shofar where and who's going to be davening when. I have no idea. But one thing I can tell you is that we hope and pray if we walk away from the Me'adin, the Abba, the Yachim, the Shalom Vareyas, then we succeeded. If we goofed on a piyut here and there, and even we messed with Kishor for Vaigon, says it's more important. Abbas Yisrael, Abba Yachma Shalom Vareyas is going to be like everything. So we hope and pray Roshom doesn't test us with that. But we'll get that another time, another place, if we have to talk about it. Back to our story by saying. So comes the Ritvon and says, wait a second. He says, we're blowing more than the halacha requires. The Torah says you blow 9, and we're blowing 30, because we're blowing Shvam Chuvas Kafas too. We're blowing Nachamol Nach, isn't that Bataysif? It's Vaita Bataysif, Bataysif, Bataysif. How could that be? Even though each one is separate and distinct from one another, but we're not halachudikoi people, says the Ritva. Says the Ritva. V'yei shloimar, v'keivan she'ein osim keimishum teisefes, elemen ha-sofek, shema lo yotzu barishaynes, shuv ein kan mishum al-teisef. No, it's up to Ritva. That's not al-teisef. Why is it about Toysif? Because you're not doing it Lahosif. What are you doing it for? Because you don't know which is the right one. What do you mean you don't know which is right? I just told you which is the right one. They're all right. It would appear from the Ritva. The Ritva is not going big for Sarah Vigon. The Ritva is saying, we taka don't know which is the right one. It was really a suffix. It was taka bachlekes. We taka don't know what was. There was a true Amur Batira. And we taka forgot which one it is. It's one of three possibilities, and therefore we better be careful to blow all three. The Ritva is not alone in that analysis. The Rambam says the same thing. Rambam Hilchos Shofar says explicitly that this is a real suffix. Not like Rav Haigon said, it's not a real suffix, just make everybody happy. No, 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 says the Rambam. If you blow one set, if let's say you just go to shul and you hit kia truat kia three times, there's a 33% chance that we yaitzeh the mitzvah. According to Rav Haigon, there's a 100% chance we yaitzeh the mitzvah. According to the Rambam and the Ritva, there was a 1 in 3 chance we yaitzeh. It was a real suffix. So the fact that the Ritva is justifying the extra tekiyas because midei sveikel enafka, that's the agenda, that's the justification to blow extra. Zemen, you see, the Ritva is not Rav Haigon. The Ritva is the Rambam. It's a real suffix. Rabbi Yisai, what prompted Rav Haigon to say his fasting shot? We somehow we like the pshat of Rav Haigon. It makes us feel a little bit, more comfortable with our messiah. We feel a little more, feel a little bit less tense. Rav Haigon told us we're good to go no matter what. You know, I always breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief. You know, after the first set of tekiyas are over, the tekiyas, the miyushim are over. When Nashua and Dr. Tiger belts out Ashra Am Yodei Srua, I always breathe a sigh of relief. I'll tell you why. Because with the rice we're yotzei. It means no matter how you slice, no matter how you turn, no matter where you go, with the Torah yotzei. I'll say that brachas, lechatchila, derabana. The maisa bottom line is, if shuwa done right then and there, at least I know everybody, even if a guy would walk out, I'm not sure for the next tekiya, at least it was yotzei with the raisa. Baruch Hashem, Asher, Yodei Shuwa. So according to Haigon, I could breathe that sigh of relief after the first sets of tashrats. I don't even need Tashad and Tarak for that. I don't even have to stay for all year. I should belt that Asher Yodei Shruah, that's the Diaraisa, and the rest will just be, to make everybody happy. So misafik, I don't breathe that sigh till the end of the whole three sets. I always find that one of the strangest things in our davening, and I don't think most people think about this in Rosh Hashanah, but if it wouldn't be the Yom HaDin, it's such a trembling time, I would probably start to laugh when the Valtakeh screams out, Ashreyam, Yaydei, Seruah, happy is the nation that knows what the Truah is. It's a little bit strange. The whole reason why we just did what we did was because we don't have a clue what the Truah is, according to the Ritva. Because we have a suffix, we don't have a foggiest notion what Truah is. So Ashreyam, Yaydei, Seruah is a little bit of a strange tefillah Valtakeh Shefa. I don't know, just on the one of the stranger ends. But Rabbi said back that story. So the Ritva is justifying the extra tkiyas on the grounds of Sveikis. What prompted Rav Haigon to say that the extra blowing is not for Sveikis? Rav Haigon didn't want to say that. You know where Rav Haigon refused to say that? He had a fascinating historical observation. You know what Rav Haigon said? He said, I can't believe it's a suffix. What did they do last year? Says Rav Haigon, tkiyas shofar, it's not something that happens every 25 years. Like the Gemara tells us in Pesachim, one year they couldn't remember whether Korban Pesach was Derech Shabbos. Okay, the calendar, you know, in the old days of Makash Shapiria, it could have been 50 years. People don't remember. Something doesn't happen so common. We just had it 2 weeks ago. We had the Haftar Zacharias Kedoshim. So every 25 years or so, there's a fluke in the calendar. You end up in such a way that you have to lay in the Haftar of Acharimoyz. It almost never happens because it's either two parshas together or it's a Shabbos Mevorchim, it's a Shabbos Mubaris, it's a Resh Chedesh. The Haftarah of Kedoshim gets sidelined all the time. Every single time. Because the Gemara Megillah says it's not appropriate to lay in it because it's very, very derogatory about Yerushalayim. Toivus Yerushalayim, we don't want to talk about it. So the way the calendar is set up, it's on the books, it's in the Chumash, but nobody ever reads it. Except for that once every 25 years, 25, 30, whatever. The very, very, very rare combination of factors that will end up forcing us to lay in that Haftarah. And even then, there's Machlokes, some say you skip it anyway. And you just say Acher Motz 2 weeks in a row. And some say you link Kedoshim. I remember years ago in Yeshiva, when this happened, back maybe over 30 years ago, it happened in Yeshiva once, and the Gabbai, a little kid, a little 20-year-old kid, gets up and makes a clap in the Beis Medrash and then stand there, and he says, the meaning in the Yeshiva is when this phenomenon happens, we lay in this and this after. And one of the older Balabatim turns around to him, I remember this, he screams out to him and says, what are you talking about? He said, first of all, you weren't born last time this happened. I davened in the same spot. I was in this minyan, and we laid the other after. We're in the minyan yeshiva. Who are you davening the minyan yeshiva? The Nevi Huda writes in a tshuva that there was a certain shad that came up in Prague by a chalitza, and one of the dayanim was on the Nevi Huda's basin was a younger man, like a man in his 30s, and the dayan was insisting on a certain chumra in the chalitza, and the Nevi Huda writes in his tshuva that he told the dayan. He said, the reason why you're insisting on the chalitza is because you weren't born last time there was a chalitza in Prague. He said, you don't even remember. It was 30 years ago last time we ran a chalitza. You don't remember what we did 30 years ago. So when you have an interest that you have situations that are so uncommon, so people forget. Nobody remembers last year. What did he say in the mouth? What happened? He asked about the kid. He doesn't remember what he blew last year. Nobody in the whole shul, nobody remembers what he blew last year. So Haigon says, it can't be. The teretz is because there's no answer. They're all okay. There is no meaning. There is no din that requires. So the Rambam and the Ritva who say there was a real bona fide suffix, I have to answer that question. So the Rambam answers that question. The favorite. The Rambam writes in Shulchan Shoy Perek Dalet. The Rambam writes that true azu amur b'teira nishtakcha miklal Yisrael lefi rov agolus lebrov atzaris. He says because there were so many persecutions that we know this for a fact. The Gemara tells us multiple times that the Romans time and time again, prohibited tkiyas shofar. Why? Tkiyas shofar in the ancient world was a call to arms. It was a call to revolution. The Goyim b'shum pon rof, and they came down hard, they cracked down hard on tkiyas shofar. That's why we blow shofar ben musaf. Because in the old days, they used to blow b'shachris, the Gemara says, and the Romans would send the guards in to arrest the people when they were blowing shofar. So the Rabbanim decided, you know what? We're not gonna blow. We're gonna push it off till musaf. The guards are going to get lit. Once the rabbi speaks, the guards fell asleep. They left the shul. They went to go have kiddush. They figured they're not coming back anymore. They didn't come back anymore. Then they started quickly to blow shofar by musaf. Otherwise, you should blow by shacharis. I'm supposed to blow by musaf. We blow by musaf as a zeichet to those days. Klai Yisrael, lo aleinu. And I'm going to say something, and please don't quote me. I'm misquoting Meir. I don't have the recording for this. But Klai Yisrael suffered for many, many years with gezeiris, against mitzvahs, against Talmud Torah, against all kinds of different things. And unfortunately, tragically of tragically, and it's one of the things that I can't even express my I'm not sure disgust is even the correct word, but that notion how, yes, there were many, many people, there were many, many enemies against us who tried to stop us from doing mitzvahs over the years. And there were many, many times when Jews couldn't blow shofar except in caves, you know, in secret. And there were many, many times that Jews were killed for doing bris milas. But that ingrained enemy, you know, the outside enemy force to stop us from doing mitzvahs is not, by any stretch of the imagination, the Israeli army or the Israeli police force. And it is not the police force of any police force in the United States of America. And that horrible and horrific jump in people's minds that somehow they still think that they're in a pogrom and they think and Hashem Yirachem to invoke imageries and words from a tkufa when Jews really did truly suffer at the hands of our mortal enemies and to apply those to well-intentioned policemen, non-Jewish policemen in the United States of America doing their job and doing it rightfully so, and to apply it to Achenu B'nai Israel, who are soldiers, who are policemen, who are trying to help you and everybody else, is the Lufini is the idea of crime beyond description. Beyond description. And it's one of the things that, again, I imagine some people know what I'm referring to. I imagine different things. It was another horrific series of videos that was floating around on some of the websites today about certain things that happened, some in Eretz Yisrael and some, unfortunately, very, very, very close to home in our state. And we'll leave a different county, but same state. Some things that boggle the imagination, how people have mistaken America 2020 and Yerushalayim or Meron 2020 for Warsaw in 1941. And the ramifications of those comparisons are chillingly frightening and horrific that anybody can make such terrible, terrible errors. So again, that was just an aside. And you know, it was just boiling my blood early in the day. So just maybe I get out of my system for now and we'll forget about it. But I think everyone understands exactly what I'm referring to. Anyway, back to our story. So the Rambam writes, why do people forget what the Tekiyah Shofar was? Because there were times when people didn't blow shofar. But for generations on end, people didn't hear the shofar. When the Goyim was stopping them from blowing the shofar, people didn't remember. When the Gezeiros left, the Romans left, they couldn't remember. Who remembered what shofar sounded like 20 years ago? Nobody remembered. We remembered episode it was a tu-tu-tu. No, maybe it was a tu-tu-tu-tu. Maybe it was a tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu. It was Takamas Leikas. And all three positions were expressed by Tanoim as possibilities. And therefore, Lidei Sofik, you have to be Yetzil 3. So the Ritva is like the Rambam in this one, against the Rav Haigel. But at least according to the Ritva and the Rambam, we have a justification why it's not Baltoisif. So why is it not Baltoisif according to Rav Haigel? According to Rav Haigel, that you really Yetzil ready. So why is it Baltoisif? What's the justification? So Lefiani is Daiti. I think it's a big Kiddush, but I'm going to say it anyway. Lefiani is Daiti. It's the same justification as the Hidu Mitzvah, namely. What was the word Hidda Mitzvah? What did the Ritva say? Hidda Mitzvah is not a doicha baltois, that's ridiculous. Hidda Mitzvah is not an essay de chalosa game happening here. When you have a legitimate need to do something, that's not a hosofala mitzvah. Hosofala mitzvah means when you're doing it for no legitimate mean, just for hoisipiyama, you want to show up the Torah and say, if I'm smarter than the Marsham, I have a better way of doing this mitzvah, that's baltois. But if what you're doing is for a very acceptable Torah purpose, it doesn't have to be, let's say, Siddei Sofek. That's an extreme purpose. But even Hidda Mitzvah is enough for a purpose. Rabbi Yitzhak, I think you're going to Rav Haigel, I also have a legitimate purpose. You know what the legitimate purpose is? That when davening ends in Rosh Hashanah, nobody's fighting. Because the other option is, we're going to blow only one set, and the two out of the three people are going to be upset, and they're going to scream and say, tomorrow you're going to do like us, and we're having a breakaway minyan, and we'll make our own our backyard minyan, and it's Hefkevelt, and to unite Klal Yisrael. That's just as important as to have a couple extra kohanim helping the kohanim who are tone deaf. That's just as important as adding a few extra hadassim to make it look a little bit cute, a little bit nicer. Because it's not that those tzurachim are doichim al toisim. When the agenda is for a legitimate Torah concern, al zelu nema al toisim. That's not the Torah itself. It's not the kohanim itself. It's not the Torah itself. So I don't think the Ritva holds like Rav Haigel. I'm fairly convinced he doesn't because the Ritva uses the lashon sofek here. You have to check with Von Roshan, I'm afraid to say. I don't know what he says there, but here he says Sofek. Sofek means Sofek. Shemelo Yotze Berishayna. My Rishayna, Rav Haigel would never said Shemelo Yotze. Rav Haigel said Yotze. So whether you hold that you are not yotzei b'rishonis misafik, whether you hold that you're doing it out shalom in Klal Yisrael, that's enough to overcome, to buy the sidestep of this. So when all the dust settles, we're still going through mitzvah by mitzvah. We started out with Dalamini, we're learning Sukkah. We didn't even open up a Gemara Sukkah today. I told everyone to bring a Gemara Sukkah and a Gemara Shoshanah. I feel bad. We're eventually going to get back to the Gemaras. But Baruch Hashem, to read the Ritvah. But it's chos to sit together for an hour and read through a Ritvah, Rangatun, a Ritvah. Ashrenim, a Taifa, again, every word, every diak, every line, every nuance, a picture of the Ritvah. And Torah is so much in between the lines of the Sailing of Ritvah. So the Ritvah took us, started with Dalaminim, took us into Duchening, took us into sleeping in the Sukkah, took us to Tkiya Shofar, taking us back to the Duchening. We still got a lot of work to do, Rabbi said. So we didn't, forget about not finishing the Sugya, we didn't even finish this Ritva yet. So hopefully Metz Hashem next week we'll try to pick up on this Ritva, and then hopefully try to, if we can, put the final touches on the Sugya.